I don't usually fall for travelers I pick up at bars, but she was a special case. A girl that handsome has one in bed at home and a few more in line. Now I was one of them. It wasn't fair, but things kept happening to keep her from fading away. Weird fucking synchronicitous things. I knew if she didn't get out of my mind,
I'd never be able to focus again. So I distracted myself with books. The ones I chose were always based on the covers. I had no interest in content. All I needed was a worn or embossed cover to rip apart and rebind with the content I chose. Pink, gray, orange paper, old maps or magazines.
But I was reading into things. I know. When I bought a book and it had her initials written in pencil inside it. I hated the noxious heat it set off in my brain to read them, but I did it over and over that day.
On the metro that morning, my mind was quiet, and I thought perhaps my obsession was finally waning. It had been a while since I'd felt stillness, like these slushy streets and the warm Tuesday morning sun.
I thought she'd just fade away, but when her picture materialized on my friend's computer monitor a day later, I knew that couldn't be the product of my desire or need. Something else was going on here.
The cheap books I was looking for stood outside, and my MP3 player skipped the mix she'd sent me in the mail. I pretended not to notice. I scanned the book spines for signs of age, chose three quickly, and ignored the hallucination of the way she brushed her hair away from her eyes.
Her smile. I couldn't get away from her handsome face mocking me from 2,000 miles away. I couldn't travel there, and I couldn't ask her to come to me, so I did the right thing. I mailed her a mix CD and kissed the urge to love her goodbye, making sure the package was decorated just so.
The second book I picked up had a beautiful, simple, academic cover. A book with such a beautiful cover had to have brilliance inside. But I didn't need the content. It was useless, inconsequential. The next beautiful song from her mix careened into swing. Leave my mind, girl.
This, I thought, would get her out of my mind. But I poured the song list from the CD I'd sent into my iPod in defiance of the desire to stop returning to her.
I waited again for the train, bothered by the strains of her shampoo scent still locked in my scarf. The song playing in my headphones was so still, barely moving.
When you ask me to sing, it feels like my heart would burst with pride. And tears come to my eyes.
I loved the last song I'd put on the mix.
With those lyrics still rhyming in my ear, I opened the last book in the pile, the smallest, and this is what I read. Old Bengali poetry lauded by Yeats. When thou commandest me to sing, it seems that my heart would break with pride, and I look to thy face, and tears come to my eyes.
I wondered if she'd like the song, too.
My mouth slowly opened as I realized that the folk song in my ears perfectly matched the 19th century religious poetry of supplication and adoration I had carelessly and randomly pulled from the shelf. I looked into the faces of those people standing near me, searching for some acknowledgement of the private synchronicity that had slammed down on me.
I bounced into the elevator after a blissfully blank afternoon. On the floor, a slip of paper with a handwritten name and a city, both hers. I bent down to pick it up, but stopped myself, not wanting to break the spell.
I was either looking for God in every face, or I was looking up, expecting to see that one face whose shape and shadow haunted me, and I could no longer suppress the crushing truth of how much I loved her.
I wanted to call her, write her, tell her that I could no longer deny whatever it was we'd started when I put my hands where I wanted to.
I needed her to know,
but I bet she was so over it. Over the whole thing, and I didn't want to risk that I'd been forgotten.